I'm glad to be up here again. The first time I was here, I was nervous. The second time I came up here, I was scared. This time, nothing has changed. I'm both. But I'm still up here, and I think one way to grow in the Lord and the church is at least try it once to get up here. I've been a Christian for about 7 years now, and obeying the gospel was the best decision that I ever made. I can see clear. My life makes sense. I'm happy. My family is happy. And as long as God is the center of our security, significance, our happiness, there's going to be a bond in my family that's going to be hard to break. And if we continue to seek God and His righteousness first, that bond may not ever break. I got a coworker of mine that said, "Julius, can I go fishing with you? Because my son is 13 years old. You know, he's a big boy. He don't want to spend time with daddy anymore. He want to be locked up in his room, have his own time to himself. You know, in this case, we can have some quality time together." He asked me the question, "Don't you have that problem? That your boy doesn't want to hang around with you anymore, with daddy anymore?" I said, "No, I don't have that problem. My boys love hanging around with me. We can spend hours together just playing Mortal Kombat." And I told them that, we love doing things as a family. And you see that? And so I told them, I don't have that problem. See, me and my wife, we love our kids. See, because they're our retirement plan. When me and my wife retire, we're not going to have millions, but we will have our kids. Julian talking about he wants to be a doctor. He said, "Daddy, Mommy, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to get a big house, and it's going to be a big lot, and you're going to live with me. I'm going to take care of you." I said, instead of saying thank you to him, I said, "Write it down. Sign it. And I'm going to sign it. We'll get it notarized, and we have a picture taken to just shake his hand in case you forget. Anthony, he's been lifting weights, drinking protein. I think he wants to do commercial, be a GQ model, like the Mexican Fabio." Can you imagine Anthony going up here in his nice suit and on TV and saying, "I can't believe it's not butter." And Jewel, I don't even want to talk about her. She's always going to be a baby to me, and we love her. So, I love being a Christian. I enjoy the life of a Christian, and I believe that's the best life there is. I gave up a lot of things that I used to do, and you know what? I'm glad, because the majority of them was bad for me. But I replaced them with God, things that make sense. For instance, I enjoy going to the Chinese buffet with my family. We love buffet. And we love saying thanks to God, giving praise for the food that He's been so good to us. I have this thing where, whoever picks the first food, say a grace. Well, Jewel happened to be so hungry that she forgot, so she picks the first food and says, "You say grace." And so now she's learning, we're teaching her, and so she closed her chinky eyes and said, "Dear God, thank you for being so good to us, for this food and family and for the cups and the paper plates and for my puppies." And, it was so cute, but people come up to us and say, "Thank you. That was real nice to see." It's not that we're shining our light, but we're letting our light shine, because not a lot of people do that anymore. I enjoy going fishing with my boys. We usually go at night. We like to see in Galveston the massive mud water and the never-ending flow of waves. It's amazing. That's why God is the greatest creation. And later on, as the sun rises, you see this orange-blue thing come out the water. It's a beautiful thing. You appreciate God's creation. I enjoy going to a date with my wife. Just me and her, eating sushi together. I love sushi. I named my first dog Sushi. But I enjoy learning more about her. Looking at her eyes, just smiling and getting to know what can we do to make things better for our family and for you know, for our future. Because I want to know the person who God blessed me with for the rest of my life. Even my daughter, I enjoy going to donut date with her before I take her to school. You know, she waits till I pull the chair out and she sits down and I push her back in. And when we're ready, I prepare the food for her. And I tell her, Jewel, you are beautiful. You are smart. And, you know, the only reason why we have you is because God blessed us with you. So that the next Justin Bieber lookalike saying, Jewel, you are so pretty and so smart, she's not going to be like, thank you so much. You're so sweet. You know, she's not going to be like that. She's going to say, my parents tell me that, and my brother all the time. It's not going to be surprising to her. I enjoy a lot of things as a Christian, but there's one thing that I enjoy the most. It's talking to people about their soul. It's a passion of mine. I remember RJ, when he was up here, he rolled up his sleeve like that and said, let's go. That's how I feel. I would drop whatever I'm doing to talk to this lost soul. Because you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to do so. So when it comes, you better be ready. Because regardless of how the conversation turns out, whether it be good, bad, or just plain ugly, and it can get ugly, you know at one point in time you planted a seed in their heart, and you just wait till God provides the increase. It's like it takes practice, it takes studying. It's like a swordsman, you know, like practicing like this, you will get cut, but in the future you will get better through studying. Of course, you have to speak the truth with love, like Jesus said. Matthew 10 said, Jesus said, therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The best way that I've learned, that Brother Ronnie would say, you know, get the Bible in front of him. Get the Bible in front of him, because you can't say it better than the Bible. You can't be like this. You are stupid. How can you say that? Who's been teaching you? And Stevie Wonder? You can't be doing that. Look, who's going to listen to you if you talk like that? So I'm going to ask you the same question. How about you? Do you enjoy as much as I do? Would you go out of your way to talk to a lost soul? And when you do you know what to say? And most of the time, they'll agree with you saying, yes, God loves us. Yes, Jesus loves us. He died for our sins. Holy Spirit is great. Baptism is important. But how important is it? Is it essential to salvation? Is it just important to do it after you're saved? Are you ready when that happens? Are you ready to divide the word of truth? To be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason, that hope that is in you? Trust me, they'll say whatever they can to prove you wrong. Let me share to you some of the conversation that I've been through. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, Julius, you see that repent? That's plural. You see that for the remission of sins? That's also plural. So in Greek grammar, it has to make sense. There's a grammatical change in numbers. So repent goes with for the remission of sins, and each one of you is singular. So repent and for the remission of sins go together, and then you get baptized afterwards. Let's look at a parallel. You see that repent? It's parallel with repent here. Be baptized is parallel with be converted. For the remission of sins is parallel with sins may be blotted out. I don't think Jesus was saying, in Matthew 26, verse 28, said, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which I shed for many. Sins, you already got your sins removed. I don't think he's saying that. Another one, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Julius, you see that? See the next, the belief, the second belief. See, what's important is believe. It's not baptism. If baptism was important, the writer should have put baptism there, not believe. The reason why believe is mentioned is not, and not baptism, is because baptism alone is pointless. It's meaningless. That's why Jesus said, believe and be baptized. It's like saying, he who takes his antibiotic and digests it shall feel better. You cannot digest something you have not taken. The next verse. There's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer to a good conscience towards God. Julius, that verse right there, went, that baptism right there, it's only a symbol. It's an outer form of an inward faith. Jesus was sinless. It's just a symbol. Can you imagine the people questioning Jesus, saying, if the command came from God to be baptized, and we're supposed to follow you, then why didn't you do it? Next one. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Julius, Acts 9:15 says that he was a chosen vessel, so he was saved on the road to Damascus, not when Ananias told him to arise and be baptized. See, if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, the Lord didn't know it. Because Acts 9:6 said, go, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Saul didn't know it. Acts 9, verse 9, and he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Ananias wasted his time. Ananias didn't say, Saul, since you've already had your sins removed, go be baptized anyway. It doesn't make sense. Besides, if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, then he was the most miserable Christian that you'll ever read about. I know when I came up with the water of baptism, I didn't come out and say, like, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca Hakuna Matata? No, I didn't say that, but I knew when I came out of the baptism, I knew that my sins were washed away, I was baptized into Christ, and I was a new creature, creation. How did I know that? Because God said so. John 3:5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is the verse that I want to talk to you about. I want to spend time dealing with John 3:5, because this verse, I don't use this verse a lot, but it seems like it's so simple, but there's still a lot of confusion about it. Because whatever the condition that Jesus said, Jesus born of water and the Spirit, Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If Jesus says that you can't do something, that means you can't do it. See, one day I was working, I was at work, and I was so busy at work, I had a liver here, a lung here, a colon here, brain and an eyeball, and I was so hungry, and I finally got a chance to go to lunch, so I grabbed my Bible, went down to the cafeteria, because I like to read after I eat, or during I eat. And I went, so I had me a double cheeseburger, a chili cheese fries, a pint of ice cream, and a Diet Coke. And so as you can see, I was so hungry, I took the first bite, and I was like, wow. And this guy sits right next to me. Tattoos everywhere. He smiled, the whole cafeteria lit up because he had grills in his mouth. He said, hey, what's up, Kenneth? That's it. I'm not Kenneth. My name is Julius. Oh, okay, well, I need you to teach me the Word of God. I see you reading all the time. I said, okay. So the first reaction, I said, I laughed at him. Who sent you? So I looked around, and I didn't see anybody. He said, no, I'm just me. And he took out this Psalm and Proverb, the little book of the New Testament, the one that Catholics gives you. And he said, okay, well, this guy is serious. So I pushed my food aside and then started talking to him. He'll say one thing, I open the Bible and I show it to him. He'd say another thing, I open the Bible and I show it to him. But then he kept saying, God loves us unconditionally, that when we all go to heaven, he's our spiritual father. So I thought about a verse, and I gave him this verse, and I explained to him about, like, my children. You know, unless you do your chores, you cannot play outside. I love them unconditionally, but there's a condition that they have to meet before they can play outside. The same thing what Jesus was saying here. He said, oh, yeah, my pastor told me, yeah, you got to be born physically and born spiritually. I said, what? No. So let's look at John 3:5. Starting from verse 5, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do this sign that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it's coming from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of water and the Spirit. What do we know from this passage? There was a man named Nicodemus. He was the ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. He came to the right person. Some say that he was a disciple of Christ because he came to Jesus by night. But whatever he said, he was talking to Jesus, asking him questions. There you go. He asked the right questions. I got him for the duck there. He asked the right question, and he was amazed at what Jesus can do because he told him, no one can do these signs unless God's with him. But Jesus, knowing his heart, hit him straight to the point. You got to be born again. Nicodemus misunderstood what Jesus was saying by being born again. Instead of thinking spiritually, he was thinking physically. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into her mother's womb? Jesus explained to him that the new birth is spiritually. He said that that which is born of flesh is flesh, and which is born of spirit is spirit. You see this on verse 5, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. It's not talking about two different births. It's talking about one birth. And up here in verse 3, born again, instead of saying born again here, Jesus explained how a person is born again. It's through water and the Spirit. But whatever these two elements are, that's what is necessary to the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus should have known these stuff, because in verse 10, it's not up here, but he asked, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these signs? You see, we are born again by the Spirit. In the physical birth, when a man plants his seed in a woman, a child is begotten. On the other hand, with a spiritual birth, the seed that is necessary is what Jesus said in Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. See, it cannot be talking about physical birth, because this means that in order for a person to see the kingdom of God, they have to be born physically and spiritually. Then what about those unborn babies? What about those the babies that are victims of abortion? What about those mothers who get accidents or get killed before the life of a child is even brought forth to this world? Or the mother had C-section. Does that mean all the babies are going to hell? The precious life that God gives? Because we know most will agree that life begins at conception. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nation. So being born of water cannot mean physical birth. Being born of spirit cannot mean the Holy Spirit baptism. And we'll talk about that later, because after you read Acts 2 and Acts 10, that's the only Holy Spirit baptism that you read about. It doesn't happen anymore. Let's go to Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that are commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the days. The Lord commanded, go therefore and make disciples. It's a command. He didn't say go therefore and just make converts or just support it and say, Jesus, we love you. It's not that. Disciples are made through teaching, not just mere words, by the word of God. Notice, he says, all things that I have commanded. You can't just pull John 3:16 and say, you know, John so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in should not perish but have everlasting life. You can't just pull it and say, all you got to do is believe. Or Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God. That God loves you and you are saved by grace, that you don't have to do a thing. You got to make sure it's in total harmony with the scriptures. That's why he said, all things that I've commanded you. Let's look at another verse. Why was John baptizing in Enon near Salim? See that? Because there was much water there. Why? It's because when a person is baptized, just like described in Romans 6, Richard's favorite verse, that a person is buried. He or she needs to be totally immersed. Romans 6:4 said, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into his death. You ask me, when do we die with Christ? When do we make contact with the precious blood of Christ? That's when we make contact with him. We're baptized into his death. Let's look at the example of Jesus. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from what? From the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. See, I believe when we obey the gospel, when we believe and we are baptized, when we come up with baptism, that's the same thing that's happening. The Spirit is there. God is saying, this is my Son, who I am well pleased. The same thing is happening. Titus, talking about our salvation. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God appeared, the kind of love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see this word, regeneration? That means new birth, being born again. But what is this word washing mean? What is it? Is it the amniotic fluid? I don't think. Let's look at other verses to see if we can get a better understanding what washing means. Ephesians 5, husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of what? Of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkles or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So how we sanctify is the washing of water. I don't think that means a physical birth. It's water, H2O, is the stuff that we drink. Now let's put it in action. Let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch. See the scenario here that the angel of the Lord told Philip to go and meet this guy, the eunuch. He's coming from returning from worship to Jerusalem. So Philip went to him, and he saw him in the chair reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch said, how can I understand? At least somebody should guide me. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down into the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chair to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip went and preached Christ to him, preached Jesus to him. Like I've said before, you can't preach the man without preaching the plan, because if you preach the man without preaching the plan, then you're selling them short. And if you preach the plan without the preaching the man, then you're not telling them the whole truth. So in the course of talking, the eunuch got convicted and said, "See, there's water. What's stopping me from being baptized?" I don't think he meant to say here, "See, that's an amniotic fluid. That's disgusting." First of all, water is the same water John the Baptist used, the same water Jesus was baptized in. And if you have obeyed the gospel, it's the same water you and me were baptized in. It's H2O. The reason why the eunuch was rejoicing, because being born again, it's a spiritual birth. And the Bible teaches when you're born again that you are a new creation in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Romans 6:4. "Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." I ask the people, when does the newness of life come? Is it before or after baptism? It's after baptism. Now let's look at born in spirit. I believe that when you talk about born in spirit, I believe it's the spirit moving through God's word. 2 Peter 1:10, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For no prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the spirit." The Spirit of God guided the apostles, guided the Old Testament prophet into the writing of God's word. There is no way human can write something as perfect as the Bible alone. If you get a handful of people in Rosenberg and tell them to write about love, I guarantee you there'll be contradiction. And they live in the same time, same place, able to see each other, be able to touch, but still contradiction. But the prophets, they lived in different places. Not the same time. There's years and thousands apart. Not able to see each other, but yet there's no contradiction. Only God can do this, and it's through the Spirit that he does it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 and 11. "But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows these things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Isaiah 55, verse 8 said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, says the Lord." And no one knows the deep things of God except the Spirit. And who knows God better than the Spirit? Isn't the Spirit part of the deity? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul later on and wrote to the Ephesians that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In verse 4, "If somebody was to ask me how to be born again, I would tell them, listen to the word that God gave. Join it with baptism. That's how you be born again." James chapter 1, verse 18, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures." He brought us forth. That's the new birth. How? By the word of truth. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. You see this phrase right here, born again, is the same phrase they use in John 3, 5. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Preach what? The gospel. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you. Begotten, born again. Through what? Through the gospel. Begotten, it means regeneration, renewing, new birth, born again. Through the gospel. But where did the gospel, where did the word came from? See, when Jesus was talking to the apostles before he departed, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. He said in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, he's talking to the apostles, and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said unto you. So the Spirit will give them the message and remind the apostles all things that Jesus said to them. So the apostles receive what they taught, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. See, the Word of God came to us when the Holy Spirit directed the apostles and the other inspired men what to say and what to write. We see it again in John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And this is what we have, the truth, the word of God, the gospel. John 17:17 says, sanctify him by your truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119, the entirety of your word is truth. John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Acts verse 2 to 38, when Peter told them to repent and be baptized, how were the Jews set free? When the 12 apostles was speaking in tongues, and Peter said, it was you. You're the ones who crucified and put to death the Son of God. And when they were pricked in the heart, when Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why did Peter tell him that? It's because that's what the Spirit told them to say. And then down in Acts 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Down in 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. But Judas, I thought you said that if we are born again, we are introduced to the kingdom, not the church. Well, let's see if there's a contradiction. New birth introduces one into. The new birth in John 3:5 introduces one into the kingdom. But the kingdom is the church. Matthew 16:18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So the kingdom is the church. But yet, the church is the body. Ephesians 1, verse 22, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills it all." So the new birth introduces one into the body. But the body, in Ephesians 5:23, is salvation. Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." So the new birth introduces one into salvation. They're all saying the same thing. There's no contradiction. Let's look at some parallel. I love parallel because you start up with one verse, you have like a 380. You put another verse, you get a 9mm. Third verse, you get a 45, and more, you get a 50 cal. Look at this, John 3:5, because John 3:5 is not alone. Water and the Spirit. Water, washing of regeneration. Spirit, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Water, washing of regeneration, washing of water, Spirit, renewing of the Holy Spirit by the Word. There's one more. Water, washing of regeneration, washing of water, all baptized. Spirit, renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Word, one Spirit. They're all parallel. They're all saying the same thing. Comparison. John, water. Titus, washing of regeneration. Ephesians, washing of water. 1 Corinthians, baptized. Spirit, renewing of the Holy Spirit by the Word with one Spirit. So the condition, water plus Spirit, washing of regeneration plus renewing of the Holy Spirit, washing of water by the Word, baptized one Spirit, the result is you shall enter the kingdom of God. He saved us, sanctify and cleanse, and into one body. So my question to you is, are you born again? See, I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my strength, that the Bible is for everybody, that is, who is accountable, that God doesn't show any partiality to anyone. Acts 10 saith, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." It doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, yellow, brown, broke or rich, hairy or bald, one-legged person, God gives you the same hope and opportunity that he gave the people back then until now. The same hope that he gave me and my family, the hope of entering the kingdom of God, the hope of entering the body, the church, to be sanctified and cleansed and to be saved. If Jesus was here tonight, and you can see him physically, he would point to his word, Hebrews 5:8-9, "Though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Because if you're waiting for an angel to appear, if you're waiting for a miracle, if you're waiting for the Holy Spirit baptism, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen. We already have his word. And you are going to die unprepared to meet God. It takes a humble, loving, trusting, obedient Christ to be saved. So if you have the kind of heart and you are ready to believe, repent, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being baptized, or if you are a Christian and you just had some trouble and fallen away, then we offer you the same thing. Please come up while we stand and sing.